This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, so now it's time to take down Peter like he stole something. So the Yankees are 7 games back in the loss column, right? And you're saying that they're out of it.
Yep.
They're out of it.
Out of the division.
Well, you're saying that they have no chance at the division.
Division, yes.
Okay. Let's say that they go 6-2 in these 8 games.
All right.
So that means they're 3 games out in the loss column with 2 months to go in the season. They have no chance.
If you want to
sell to me, if they continue to play the way they played, they have no chance. I'll buy that. But you can't tell me that there's no chance mathematically, because it's a great chance. Now, would you like to be in this position? No. You'd rather be in the Red Sox position. Red Sox don't have to go 6-2. So my point about these 8 games that start tonight is if they don't go 6-2, they can forget about winning the division. But they're still very much in the wild card. This season is so far from over. Now, they've got major flaws, which we've gone over and over and over again. But to say they're out of it, I can't accept that. Now, are the odds against them to win the division? Yes. But, you know, just refer back to 1978, where they were further back, and they made it up.
But that's what makes this a take, Michael, is that what I'm saying is we know who they are. And they are not a team that is going to compete with the Red Sox.
Why?
Because we've gotten a sample now of almost 90 games in which the Red Sox are a team that's 19 over .500 and the Yankees are 3. And I think it's going to end up being close to that when it's all said and done. Maybe the Yankees will get up to being 8 games over .500. And maybe the Red Sox will drop down to 13 above .500. But I'm telling you, based on everything we see, the onus shouldn't be on me. You prove to me that they're all of a sudden going to be different.
Right. But I think what Michael's taking exception to is saying, well, these are meaningless. It's like a fait accompli.
They're not meaningless.
This is silly.
There's a lot of meaning to them. If they don't win them, then they're out.
Right. I mean, it's an opportunity that's presented. If you don't think it's going to happen, that's a very fair opinion.
That's a fair take.
The take is, I so don't think it's going to change anything that I think it's folly to pretend that it's going to. But that's the take. I have every right to disagree. Tell me they're going to go 7-1 of those games, and I will look like a fool. And I look forward to it. It'll be great. I don't think it's going to happen.
Right, but that's different than saying these games are meaningless, because the opportunity still presents itself. Because, as I said earlier, Michael, the Yankees are underachieving. Now, even though I don't think they're a championship-caliber team, they are underachieving. And the Red Sox are overachieving. So if everything goes back to what it should be, I think they're closer. I think the Red Sox have proven they're a better team this year than the Yankees. But still, these are 8 games. If things go their way, they can close the gap, and we'll see what happens from there. Now, if you tell me the Red Sox are going to fall apart, maybe Tampa's the one that takes advantage of it. Maybe Toronto's the one that takes advantage of it. But the Yankees are right there. Plus, this will also determine, Michael, what they do on July 30th.
See, I was on with Chris Russo today on MLB Network, and you know, he said that same thing. And I can't see a situation, Don, where they lose enough games that they're out of a wild card, that they would just – I mean, maybe they wouldn't move heaven and earth and then go over any possible threshold, which I don't think they're going to anyway, to win a wild card. But they're not dropping out of a wild card race. They're just not. Over the next 2 weeks, they're not going to drop out of a wild card race. Yeah, so why would you break the team up?
But like I said, there aren't 3 options. There's 2. Stay pat or buy. Like, they're not going to be in a position to sell.
Well, they could sell. Well, I mean, there could be some things that they could get rid of. I don't know how much is desirable right
now.
But
I don't think they'll be in a position where they're going to just sell off assets because they're out of it. I think they will stay in it because of the wild card.
Good point.
If they're within 5 games, they're always going to feel like listen, Oakland's not any kind of world beater. Seattle, they can pass Seattle. You know, so they can get to that second wild card and win it. But maybe they look at it and say, we're just not going to do anything. Or if they feel like they can win this division and compete for a championship, then maybe they make a bigger splash. I don't think they'll ever be in a position to sell, but staying pat or making a major move in buying I think, are the two options based on what happens over the next
That's
10
fair.
Minutes.
That's fair. And there's some moves today. Some are disconcerting. So Nestor Cortez and Wandy Peralta are on the COVID-19 list. They're out. The Yankees have called up Trey Ambergy, 26-year-old, who's had a very good year at AAA, but he's 26. Former 13th round draft choice by the Yankees. And he's finally going to get a shot. Right-handed batter. And we'll see. He's got great numbers against lefties, bad numbers against righties. So we'll see if they platoon him. He's better in the corners. They've set their rotation up. Domingo Germán tonight. Jordan Montgomery tomorrow. Gerrit Cole on Saturday. Jameson Taillon is on Sunday. Losing Cortez is big. I hate to say it, but Nestor Cortez has developed into a really important Yankee. And there was a joke at the end of the end of the weekend that he has the lowest ERA of any starter in New York. Kind of pitched fewer innings than Jacob deGrom, but we get the joke. But there's a couple of things I want to address about what happened in Houston, too. Everybody's making such a big deal out of pushing Gerrit Cole to 129 pitches in a complete game. He was brilliant in that game. And he answered a lot of the naysayers that he couldn't pitch without sticky stuff. He was brilliant. Really was. And he showed guts and just a determination to change the narrative. And I think he did. But can we stop and say, you know, it was heroic that he pitched the ninth and that Boone wouldn't take him out? What was his option?
No. Did you see who was in the bullpen?
Right.
Did anybody want to see Chapman go into that game?
Let me let everybody in on a little secret here. He would not have come out to pitch the ninth inning after throwing 112 pitches over eight innings if Aroldis Chapman was Aroldis Chapman. So stop. And then when Boone comes out, you think Boone really wanted to take him out? They would have lost a game. That was a must-win for the Yankees. And then the next day, they didn't even think it was – they weren't comfortable, Don, bringing him in with a five-run lead in the ninth inning. So they're going to bring him in with a runner on and to face Jose Altuve?
Oh.
Come on.
Michael, you should have heard the people. I don't know if you were listening.
It was crazy.
That, like, thought that Chapman should have pitched. Are you nuts? I should have had him start the inning. Why? In
what,
that ballpark?
Sunday?
Yeah. And they claimed that even if Chapman had played Sunday and lost, they wouldn't have blamed Boone for it.
Yeah, that's baloney. I did hear that. And another thing, which I saw on Twitter a lot, you could see right away that Chad Green didn't have it. Really? So that you've never seen Chad Green pitch where like two guys got on and all of a sudden he straightened it out and found it? Well, what was the next option after Chad Green, everybody? So when we move forward and Peter's proclamation that he doesn't think these games are going to mean anything, they won't if Chapman doesn't straighten himself out. Now, they get reinforcements today because Britton comes back. Not have a legitimate closer. This is a guy who saved 54 games one year. So he can close. I don't know if he's going to be sharp right away. I was asked today, you know, they probably feel comfortable bringing Chapman into a safe situation today. No. What? No. Did he get sprinkled with pixie dust during the All-Star break? No. They didn't even bring him into the All-Star game. So the next time you're going to see Chapman, I believe, is in a low-leverage situation where they're up by 10 runs.
Right, like the last time you saw him.
Right. And he still blew it. So they got to straighten that out. And if you look at the Yankees over the last month since the sticky stuff went away, they're hitting again. Now they need to get Luke Voit back to hitting home runs, and they need Gleyber Torres back to hitting home runs. But for the most part, Sanchez is back. To a representative player. Stanton's been hitting well. Judge has been great all year. So the offense is there. They've got to figure out the pitching, and they've got to figure out the bullpen. Yeah. But now no Nestor Cortez. They really don't even have a fifth starter.
And listen, obviously getting back into this division is what everybody's focused on, but it's also trying to get right. So if you do take six out of the eight against the Red Sox, and now it's weird because it's just a two-game series against Philly. But let's just say they take both games against Philly. You'll be talking about a team that has won five straight series. And now maybe they're starting to get well again. And it's not going to be those, you know, winning 8 of 10 and then dropping 8 of 10. They would have beaten Seattle 2 out of 3, Houston 2 out of 3, win a Boston series, win the Philly series, then win the Boston series again. Yeah, you're making up ground on Boston, but you're also proving to yourself that you've turned some sort of a corner. Because they're only three games above 500, and you're going to have to be double digits above 500 if you're a playoff team, I think, even for the wild card.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to start winning games. So forget it. So you just put aside that it happens to be Boston for eight of the next 10. That's great. That's a great break you got from the schedule makers. But you got to start winning games. They don't have a record right now that's going to be good enough to even make the wild card.
And can I make one other statement about that weekend in Houston? Now, they played well against Houston. There was no Correa, and there was no Bregman. So Houston has a great offense, but you took out two of their better players. That's number one. So I don't want to take anything away. That's the team they ran out there. Number two, I have no problem with what Judge did. Nothing. You know, when he bundled himself up after the home run, which was the only run on a Saturday game. I had a little bit of a problem when he's asked after the game, what was that about? Well, it's a little chilly in here when they close the roof. Tongue in cheek. You know what you do? If you want to send a message, I think they cheated. I don't like what they did. And that was my message to them. I think that's a little stronger. But he chose to go the tongue in cheek route. Fine. Fine. He hit his home run. He's allowed to do what he wants. Then on Sunday, Yankees get walked 14 times. They also have 11 hits and they score whatever, seven runs. That's where they lost the game. And they're doing the jacket stuff because it's cold in there. And Maldonado exposes his left chest as if to say, look, no buzzer here. I have no problem with trolling. I think it makes for a fun narrative. I think it gets people involved. But if I could give them all a bit of advice, and they don't come to me for advice, they should. If you're going to troll, right, and then you lose, you're like chumps. I'm not saying that your trolling motivated the Astros. No, the Astros won because the bullpen didn't do a good job in the ninth inning. It's funny. So the trolling didn't kick in until the bottom of the ninth inning. That's why I laugh at that. But you look like chumps if you're going to troll and then not finish the deal. Can't happen. It can't happen, guys. If you're going to troll, you got to win. That's what trolling's about. Otherwise, if you lose, you look like the chumps.
And I'm on the same page as you. My only slight nuance to the Judge thing was the same way you said afterwards when he was asked about it, he played dumb.
Played cute.
Played
he's
cute.
Not dumb. He's very smart, but he played cute.
I also felt that even the way he did it was half pregnant. He, like, barely did it. Do it. You're doing it.
You're
do
right.
it.
Do it.
Run
do
down
it.
Run down the whole base path doing it. It's like he did it so little that he could almost have plausible deniability.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I have no problem with the way he did it rounding the base. I thought that was nice.
No, so, I didn't think that was enough. I think it was I all thought too it was, cute.
Where you really pound the nail, though, is when they ask you why you did it. You know why I did it? Because I think they cheated. I think that Altuve stole an MVP from me, and he stole two chances for me to go to the World Series. That's why I did it. Don't say it gets a little chilly in here with the roof closed.
Well, listen, one or the other. Either do what you said, where you announce it, or you make it so obvious that when they ask you the question, you go, oh, you know, it gets chilly in here. Everyone knows it's absurd because you did it for 15 seconds. But it's like it was so halfway done that it own it, man.
And one other thing, so they rip off Altuve's shirt. Remember when we all thought there was a buzzer there? And his excuse was, A, his wife didn't like that he took his shirt off one previous time. And then he had an unsightly tattoo that he didn't want to show and make public. Did you see that tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody took a Bic pen and scribbled the word on it. You couldn't even see it. That was unsightly? I mean, if anything, by them doing what they did, ripping his shirt off, to me, is further proof that there was something amiss back then.
Yeah.
Didn't you feel the same way, Don?
Well, no, absolutely, because I'm convinced he was wearing a wire. Convinced of it, okay? And you can't tell me otherwise. But here's the thing, that it's a great troll back by Altuve, is that, all right, let's all go under the assumption that they cheated and got away with it. Well, guess what? He hits a three-run home run to win the game, tears the jersey off, didn't have a wire then.
Yep.
So, look, no matter what I did back in 2019, right now, here you go, bare-chested, no wire here, I still beat you. Well, because that's ultimately what the Astros and their fans want to tell you, is that they're so good they didn't need to cheat in the first place. Well, we didn't cheat because we don't have to. We're still great. Well, you know what? They are a great team.
They are great. And he's a great player.
And that to me kind of just punctuate, forget about the cheating. Guess what? They just came back from 7-2 down, and the guy that beat you back in 2019 beat you again, and no wire.
But you can't tell me about an unsightly tattoo.
No, but Michael, I think it's almost laughable for anybody to think that he wasn't wired that day. Honestly.
Or there was something wrong there. There was something up.
They got caught cheating in 2017. Why wouldn't they cheat in 2019? And we certainly didn't know about all the cheating in 2019 anyway. So something was going on there. I'm convinced of it. They can't be touched by it. They'll never admit it. They never really even got punished for what they did in 2017 when they got caught. But on that particular moment, with the Yankees trolling at them, Altuve got the last laugh. Judge has got to stop it, because he did the same thing with the Red Sox in 18.
With the New York.
And Peter's right. He isn't that kind of guy. And you could tell he does it because he probably knew his teammates would love it, but he really didn't go all in on it because he's probably not all in on it himself. So then just don't do it. Because if you're going to do it, then own it. And if you're not going to own it, don't do it.
And can I tell New York fans something, Yankee fans, which now it seems like, you know, bleep Altuve is a new pot van, you know,
right.
Bleeps. They just stop. He embarrassed you at the end of the series here by getting the home run off of Green. Then he embarrassed you against the series in Houston. And one other thing, you could bleep Altuve. He's a hell of a player. If I'm building a team and somebody offered me Altuve without cheating, I take him. That guy's great. Great. And it's beneath you continually always going bleep Altuve. For what? To what end? Like Altuve's the only guy? They all cheated. Do you say bleep Bregman? Bleep Correa? No, you don't. Why Altuve? The things that this guy's done at the size of 5'6", he should be celebrated. Probably lost his chance at the Hall of Fame because he's involved in this, but that guy is a hell of a player. As it was unfolding, every Yankee fan that's watching and listening right now, did you think he was getting a hit there? I did.
Yeah.
I was almost like I'm watching a tragedy happen and I couldn't stop it. I'm watching on TV. I said, he's gonna get a hit or a home run here. I knew it. Because that's what he's about. The home run off Chapman, the buzzer home run, the two home runs off Green this year. The guy comes up big in every single spot, and you're going to spend the rest of eternity going to Yankee Stadium chanting bleep Altuve when he's not even there? Well, the bleep Altuve chant started him off on this run. And one other thing. Astros, grow some onions, will you? Go to the All-Star game. Face your peers. Every single one of them doesn't go. Why? They didn't want to be booed by the crowd? Or they didn't want to look people in the eye like Aaron Judge? I think it's the latter. And Dusty Baker, one of the favorite people in baseball, stop saying the Yankees should be over by now. That's nonsense. You weren't here. You don't know what it cost them. It probably cost them a chance at a World Series title. It cost a lot of people their jobs. You don't get over that, Dusty. So just because you say it's time to get over it, no, it's not. It'll never be time to get over it. Because in 2017, Astro fans will at me on Twitter, it's proven that they cheated. Proven. They admitted it. 2019, conjecture. 2017, proof. Just because they weren't punished doesn't mean they didn't do it. They did do it. That's been established. They admitted that to the commissioner. So don't be horrified that people are still upset about it. You robbed the Yankees of a chance to go to the World Series. Now, whether or not they would have been able to do it, even if there wasn't cheating going on, I have no idea. But Dusty Baker has some set of onions to tell the Yankees to get over it. You don't get over stuff like that. Take some phone calls. Don's got a big list coming up as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, this was last minute, but I think I nailed it. There's so many great moments on the Michael K. Show in the 19 years we've been doing this. And in case you missed it, today is the 19th anniversary of the K. Show. We are officially put together for a 10-to-1 show on July 15th, 2002.
Then it eventually went to 10 o'clock, right? No. Then it went to 1.
It went. It was originally a 4-to-7.
Right.
Then 3-to-7. It was a 2-to-7 at one point. We bounced around, but we became
an
afternoon
drive show.
But we started
10-to-1. I don't think you're right.
What's that?
Yeah, I don't think we didn't start 10-to-1.
Oh yeah.
Well, what was my big outburst about? Tim said he never put me on before noon.
Well, that's why you had the outburst.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I was.
Because you were promised you'd never be on before noon, and they gave you a show, and they put it on 10-to-1.
Right.
And it was killer to me because I was working the morning show. So, you know, instead of going home after Mike and Mike, I'd stick around until 1 o'clock to do the K Show and doing updates. And there's a couple of times that I dozed during the show, and it wasn't any kind of reflection on the quality of the show. I was just exhausted. But we started at 10-to-1, then March of 2005, we moved to the afternoon.
All right.
So there's a lot of stuff, and I didn't know I was going to do this, but I don't think I forgot anything. These are some of the classic moments for the show and for myself included. So here is the top five, and do you have any guesses?
Oh, you want us to guess with you?
Well, I don't know, because Andrew loves when you guys guess.
I would say the time that we did the show from the Hummer between the U.S. Open and Shea Stadium.
Well, again, I'm trying. That definitely should be on a list of embarrassing moments.
Right.
But I'm proud of what we've done. And if you want to list the top five of embarrassing moments, shockingly bad moments, why in God's name did I agree to work here moments, I'll give you 15 right off the top of my head. But I'm proud of what we've accomplished here, and I want the list to be positive, and I'm insulted that was your first guess.
What about Ray from North Carolina destroying me?
Here's the issue. That is clearly a top five. But I was on vacation. Who are you taking out?
It's like it never happened, Peter.
So you're taking it out. I get it. Okay.
But wouldn't you?
How about you singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town at our Christmas show?
That's a very nice pull, Michael. I do not have it in the top five.
Thank God.
Who are you taking out? No, don't say thank God. That was a great moment, Peter. You just happened not to be there.
But that would have been bias. That would have proved bias.
Dolan interview.
Yeah, the Jim Dolan interview was, I thought, incredible. He was in studio. It was around the Phil Jackson debacle because he was in to defend himself on Charles Oakley. And right. I got the question, Michael, that got all the attention.
To the fans that have painted you as a villain or the reason the team is losing, what do you say to those people? What's the message to them?
Ask Phil.
And I got that at 3 because Peter, I usually don't get to ask the money quote, the money question, and I got a chance to do it, and it was a big deal in studio, and I got it at 3.
But this is, Michael, maybe you'll agree with me here, maybe you're not, maybe not, but doesn't it feel like this list is a little bit self-motivated?
Of course it should be. He's the one
doing it. The Daily Don, you moron!
No.
The Daily
Don.
What do you think it is?
But the list itself should almost be titled Best Moments Involving Don.
Well, it's the Daily Don.
Well, first of all, it's the Daily Don. We've got one of the five, and you're jumping to conclusions?
How about Eli Elite?
That's a great pull, Michael,
and I've got it at 5.
Is Eli Manning an elite quarterback? Are you a top 5, top 10 quarterback?
Yeah.
Listen, standalone, not much. We got years out of that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It was a big deal that year. Because that was after the first Super Bowl. He ends up winning another one, and now it's still a question. And, Michael, we got a ton of mileage out of that.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got it at 5, and that had nothing to do with me. I was standing next to Michael, and I remember my eyebrows perked up like, well, this is going to be pretty significant because he's admitting that he's elite, and there's questions on whether he was or not, and we got so much mileage out of it. I thought that was – you could make the case it should be higher.
Peter, he could have punched me in the face because after he said yes, I said, really?
But, Michael, how much mileage? Years.
It's years. We still mention it.
Yep.
Okay.
Want me
you
to
know
go,
what? Because
Peter?
A little snotty, Peter, I'm making that too.
You moved it.
Listen, I only had an hour to work on this. I spilled coffee all over my table here.
At least
really
you have a coffee machine to make another cup.
No, I'm moving that to 2. Just a little snot nose there thinks that I'm trying to be self-serving.
It's called the Daily Don, not the Daily Us.
No, but I've been on the show since day one. I should be involved in these. But
yeah,
these
but you
are
said,
my memories. For but you know said, what, Punk? It's number two.
But
so
for you to
Dolan's
say,
three. Eli is elite is two.
Michael, I don't have a problem with the list B. It's Don's list. If he wanted to make the list top five moments involving Don, fine.
But I got one.
When we bring up Ray and he goes, that's clearly top five, but I wasn't there. Well, now the list is fraudulent.
I got one,
thank
Don.
Thank you.
I got
Peter sucks. That's what I'm saying.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should pause, take a break.
You know
what?
Come
back
disgusted.
With the remainder of the list.
Maybe.
Maybe what?
Maybe I will.
Maybe
we'll
he
move
won't.
On to the Mets.
Why are you getting nasty with me? I'm here.
Everything I'm saying is directed at that guy. To your God, left on TV.
What a quick – Michael, boy, do you have Don turning on me quick. You show up for 2 hours, and we go from the best of friends
really,
all
it was
week.
Really kumbaya. It was really amazing.
And then you just show up and ruin everything.
One of my
we even
favorite,
had a,
one,
we
one
even
of
had
my
nice fa- conversation after the show yesterday.
That's right.
Throwing compliments at each other.
Breaking
one of my
it
favorite,
down.
One of my favorite things in the shows that since I've been away, I listened to the open of the show 2 days ago, and Don said your name no less than 15 times in the first 20 minutes.
Mine?
Yeah, just trying to engage you. I thought it was beautiful. Peter.
I was engaged.
Nice. Peter. Yeah,
that wasn't
Peter.
Really nice. At all.
But what was the open?
I'm mad at him, Michael, but that was unfair.
How dare you talk about me being engaged? You've been on vacation for the last 2 weeks, and you come in at my head? While I'm holding down the fort on the Michael K. Show? You got some nerve.
Let's towel off. We'll get the remaining three. Got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Basketball, great game yesterday. We've now got a big NBA Finals. Kay LaGreca. Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
So the Yankees are 7 games back in the loss column, and you're saying that they have no chance at the division.
Yes.
Okay, I can't accept that. Now, are the odds against them to win the division? Yes.
What I'm saying is we know who they are, and they are not a team that is going to compete with the Red Sox.
Why?
Because we've gotten a sample now of almost 90 games in which the Red Sox are a team that's 19 over 500 and the Yankees are 3. And I think it's going to end up being close to that when it's all said and done. Maybe the Yankees will get up to being 8 games over 500. And maybe the Red Sox will drop down to 13 above 500. The onus shouldn't be on me. You prove to me that they're all of a sudden going to be different.
The Michael K. Show.
I will look like a fool, and I look forward to it. It'll be great.
On 98.7. ESPN.
Oh, the crispness of the show, despite the fact I couldn't get on the air for 45 minutes because of a conspiracy. But here we are together again, back and better than ever. So Don's in the middle because this is our 19th anniversary of the show, of his top five moments. So we have the Dolan interview, which he has at 3. The Eli is elite, which he moved from 5 to 2. I don't know why.
No, and this also, and I am right now, I learned my lesson. I had a moment of clarity. Ray from North Carolina is number one.
Wow.
And I should not get into it because it's the Michael K. Show. And that was a major, major moment.
Don't threaten me, son. I'll send the world up there for you.
And I got kind of caught up and I had a little selfish moment. I needed to be called out by a friend, Peter.
Wow, really? I thought you were mocking me.
I have my moments. I have my things that are special to me. But we did present it as top five Michael K. moments on the anniversary. Maybe one day I'll give you my top five things that I accomplished that I did. I still stick with the Dolan because even though it was my question, that was still very significant.
Very.
And the Eli was huge, and that deserves to be too.
Wow.
But Ray from North Carolina, it's remembered forever. And even if I was there in the studio, I could not have helped or hindered or that
you could
moment
have hindered.
At all.
You could have hindered it.
The only difference is Ray wouldn't have gotten
a
word
Michael
in edgewise.
Michael makes a great point. I probably would have ruined it.
I mean, you could have really fat hands
shutting
that.
Shutting my big, ugly, disgusting, fat, ignorant mouth. So
if you listen to the greatness of that moment, I just shut up.
Right. And I can't because I just don't know my role and I don't know how to just stop talking. So
I understand my deficiencies, and Peter is absolutely right, and I apologize the way I attacked him.
Wow.
This is not about me. It's about the show and the anniversary of said show. So right now, number three is Jim Dolan saying, ask Phil. Number two is Eli Elite. And then number one is Ray from North Carolina. Now, please continue.
Four and five. Okay.
Can we count the Diet Coke situation?
I thought about it, but I wanted to try to stay positive.
Okay. How about us?
I'll give you.
Who are you taking
out? Thought. That turned out to be an overwhelmingly negative moment.
No, it turned out to be an overwhelming moment of publicity.
Right. It wasn't what we thought it was going to be. It was just weird. I would put that under very strange moments. Oh,
it was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
But I was a little surprised when I had like 3,600 mentions after we did it on my Twitter. And also, the April Fools I could put on there too. But I wanted to try to stay positive.
All right, how about when Michelle Beadle goaded me into asking Jody out on the air?
Ooh, now you know what? That's a good one, Michael. I mean, you embarrassed yourself, so I'm going to leave it off the list just for...
Embarrassed myself to the point of getting married and having children.
Yeah, but she said no.
But she eventually came around.
Just of sheer persistence, I mean, it's a really great story. It's like the kid that gets cut and ends up going to the Hall of Fame.
Michael Jordan.
You know what it is? It's the Johnny Unitas story.
I choose Michael Jordan.
But it was an awkward moment, Peter. It wasn't very good.
I've heard. I wasn't here for it, but I've heard.
I like where you're thinking.
How about us finally beating Francesa in the ratings? Is that part of the show, or is it?
I thought about it.
Who are you taking out?
It's an ongoing thing, so I figured I wouldn't go there.
Well, it's not really ongoing.
No, it's not. The Francesa part's not ongoing anymore.
Yeah, he was toppled. It ended.
It was nice. But it's not what I think of as far as the nuts and bolts of the show.
Okay.
This involves you, and then one involves me. Sorry, Peter.
Involves me?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty significant. It ended up being another one of your losing a bet but coming out smelling like a rose.
Is this the hair?
No. The hair was just, that's one of the top five moments of your life.
How about me losing the bet and going to the Garden in a Ranger uniform?
That's what I have at four. That was pretty big. It was supposed to be embarrassing. You were on MSG, interviewed by Al Trawig. Dave Maloney still doesn't like you for it.
There's some reasons I don't like him either.
Yeah, because, Peter, people thought that he was insulting the Rangers by saying that he lost a bet by having to wear a Ranger jersey.
Dave has a great sense of humor.
He wasn't wearing a Ranger jersey. He was in full Ranger hockey pants, helmet, carrying a stick around Madison Square Garden. He should have looked like a weirdo, but instead, Peter, it became one of the great moments in Michael's life. He's taking pictures, signing autographs. Ended up being a great, great, great moment. There's actually a picture of it in an office we'll never, ever be in again.
How about the best part of that was, like, Don and I are sitting, and I turn to my left, and sitting on the stairs of the Garden next to me is Jim Dolan.
See, that's the part that put it over the top for me. For everything you say about Jim Dolan, Jim Dolan comes to say hello to Michael and sits on the stairs next to Michael.
Stairs that he owns. He owns those stairs. I don't know the other one, Don. Is it you said?
It's me. It's created one of the most significant drops, I think, in the history of the show.
Ed Cranepool?
No, I think this one's bigger than Ed Cranepool.
Jose Reyes?
I think this is bigger than Jose Reyes. This is bigger than we know, to me. I think this is bigger than Ed Cranepool. I think this is bigger than Sniff 'em Dead.
I don't know.
Well, let's play it at number five.
You beat two of the best teams, and now you're going into Pittsburgh and taking on the Steelers. Who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers? Who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers, dude? Who's better, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New England Patriots? Answer the question. Answer it!
Right now?
Answer it! For God's sakes, three times I've asked you, who's better, the Patriots or the Steelers?
The Steelers. The Steelers right now, the Steelers are the better team. Anybody who watches football will tell you that New England, this is a building year.
Oh,
they didn't even
boy, goodbye,
that.
Goodbye,
Listen,
goodbye. Will you please hit the button, for God's sakes, Michael? I'm screaming at the guy for 10 minutes.
Imagine I get yelled at, Peter.
I don't think that's bigger than the other ones, but maybe that's because it was before I got here, and it sounds like you did the show on CB.
Well, I think they had to go deep into the archives. Apparently, he didn't age well.
But so, it is a tremendous
moment.
That's
the quickly top five that I put together. There's a lot of other things.
So many.
The mishap on April Fool's Day. There's the event outside Shea Stadium when we were, had to do the show from the Hummer.
What about Look at This Garbage, too?
Look at This Garbage is very good, too. But that's what I quickly
What about Larry David on the program for like 45 minutes?
Yeah, that's not bad either.
I thought about this, too, because the thing that I remember about the Larry David is because he asks me about why Kaapo Kakko didn't play in the third period against Calgary, and it became like a thing.
Oh, that was funny.
They were talking about it in a press conference after the game. Like, it really just became like a big deal. So it was hard to narrow down the five, but I thought we'd have some fun on the 19th.
Hell of a job, Don.
Maybe I'll put together an even more extensive list on the 20th anniversary. What do you say? That way I'll have a year to work on it.
I love that.
I mean, that's very very daring to hold something back that long.
I'm not going anywhere.
I'm not either, but, you know, you just never know.
And also, it's a whole year of creating more memories.
Brandon Cuddy of the NJ.com, this is not funny at all, just tweeted out, the Yankees have canceled pregame batting practice as they work through COVID-19 testing and health and safety protocols. Reporters are also asked to leave the field for their own safety. Not pushed off the field, but asked. And the Yankees are one of the teams that's heavily vaccinated.
But they all went their separate ways for a few days. So,
but still, they're vaccinated. 85% of the traveling party is.
All right, well, 85, that means 15 are not.
Right.
The last time we had 9 people in the staff test positive for COVID, we're all vaccinated.
True.
Right? This new variant is out, so I don't know. What did anybody come back and say that they ran into a family member that had it or something? Because they when they probably came back, they all had to get tested. They all probably had to talk about that. Were you? Did you have any symptoms? Did you come in contact with anybody that had symptoms? And maybe somebody said, yeah. I don't know. That's what it sounds like to me, though, right? And whether you're vaccinated or not, if you still came in contact with somebody, can't you still have the virus and pass it along to somebody who is not vaccinated?
Well, our good
15%
friend,
15% of the staff isn't vaccinated.
Our good friend Rich Eisen posted this on Instagram. He said, I'm double vaccinated. I'm COVID positive. It's possible, folks. As someone sitting day 4 in quarantine fighting off symptoms, I can personally attest you still need to be careful and most importantly get vaccinated. Why? Wow. Especially since mine didn't keep COVID from my body. So there aren't any more variants that pierce highly effective vaccines that would ordinarily get us all back to normal life. But if you want an answer, maybe a bit more personal to you, get vaccinated so you won't go to the hospital and die. Every healthcare professional I've come across in the last few days tell me the 2 shots of Pfizer I got in February are what's keeping a 52-year-old out of the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, that's all.
Because
promises,
it's probably
right?
The new variant?
Could be.
But isn't that all the vaccine promises?
Yeah.
Is that if you get COVID, you will be okay. Not you're not going to get COVID. Right? It doesn't shield you from acquiring the virus. It stops it from becoming an issue. I'm asking. I'm not telling. I that's the way I understand it, Peter.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like these people, like you read things like, I had the vaccine and I still got it. Well, I still think it's possible that you can get it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Johnson & Johnson, it's like a 40% chance or a 35% chance you can get it again. But the idea is that you won't die, you won't end up in the hospital, you won't have significant symptoms. The 9 Yankees that tested positive, Phil Nevin was the only one that had symptoms. But and they were bad but not awful. If he had not been vaccinated, it might have been a really different story for him. So,
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. One thing that we should learn, especially doing this show, I mean, it's so dangerous not to learn it. We don't know people. We don't know who these people are. We don't know who these athletes are off the field. And things happen that you would never – I mean, Richard Sherman, right? One of the most upstanding guys. People look at him as a leader. Went to Stanford. Always is so detailed in the way he answered questions and just a really smart dude. And then what happens yesterday. So I remind myself of this all the time, guys. Don't say, oh, this guy would never do that or this could never happen. We don't know. We really don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We have no idea, and we should always be very wary of that. And whenever we stray that way, the other two of us should remind the other one to stop. Don't ever anoint somebody as a saint. We have no idea.
Again, we don't even know what happened here.
Right.
All right, so I don't want to jump to conclusions and say, well, he's a bad guy for this, because we may find out all the details and it's just a huge misunderstanding. His wife said nobody was harmed. She's defended him. Now, that also doesn't mean anything either. So there's a lot unknown about that. But you're absolutely right, and I learned that lesson with Jason Williams back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody was a nicer guy than Jason Williams. We're talking about the Jason Williams, former of the New Jersey Nets. He was a popular guy, nice guy, and you know, all the things that ended up happening with him, and somebody, you know, died because of it. So
it's so
we don't
true.
Know. We only know what everybody else knows, right?
And who knows with the Richard Sherman story, whether, you know, we find out CTE down the line could be a part of this. You know, it's clear that he's having some sort of breakdown of some sort.
That's scary. I mean, we certainly don't want to diagnose it now, but just
no, but
know,
I mean,
you would never
I mean,
think that Richard Sherman would ever be involved in anything like this.
Right.
And he is.
Like, no, he might be the last person you'd think because of how well it seemed we knew him. And, man, I'll tell you what also, guys, especially when it comes to people's romantic relationships, you never know anything.
Now, did you see the Dwayne Haskins story?
I saw that, too.
Unbelievable. So, the wife of Dwayne Haskins faces a domestic violence charge stemming from an alleged assault involving Haskins in a Las Vegas hotel room earlier this month. His wife told police, according to reports, that the pair married in March and they were in Las Vegas to celebrate with friends and renew their vows. To me, that's a little bit of a red flag. You have to renew your vows 4 months after you got vowed. Anyway.
Well, I assume that because they had never been public about their marriage before, I assume they eloped and that's what they were doing. I don't know.
Okay.
Or did COVID stop them from maybe
good point.
Having a traditional right. wedding, something like that?
Anyway, she goes, at some point in the evening, there was an argument that escalated when she allegedly hit Haskins in the mouth. Haskins, according to reports, said he remembered getting into a fight with his wife, but didn't remember getting punched in the mouth. In searching the room, officers found a piece of tooth and blood, per reports.
And you know, it's messed up. People are, of course, making fun of Haskins.
No, they should actually applaud him.
Yeah, he did. Of course they should.
He didn't hit back.
Yeah, because he was a gentleman and at least handled it the right way, didn't make any worse decisions and make the whole situation worse. I just don't understand that. The story's crazy. And on social media, they still have, like, as of yesterday, they're still in each other's comments, and I don't know what the hell's going on in this world.
Yeah, it's a strange world. Let's go to Pat in Oregon. Pat.
Hey, guys. Don, I have just one major issue with the list, one major omission. And I totally get, just as a huge fan of the show, why it's not on there. But it's more of a thank you. You guys, I think every listener in your audience right now will agree, what you guys did during the pandemic, I think, just blows everything on that list out of the water. When there was no sports to talk about, when it felt like the world was falling apart, I don't know, turning on the radio for me at noon in Portland, Oregon, really got me through. So, again, your list is funny, the show is great, but during the pandemic, it really just went to a new level. Well, so thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's nice.
Yeah, no, thank you. Here's what I'll say, because it was my list or whatever. We were just having some fun. I kind of threw it together. There's so many moments, and that's why I really love doing the show. It's the highlight of my career that so much has happened in these 19 years. So much. It's impossible to come up with the top five. We were just having some fun with it. But if I had to really come up with a number one, it's calls like that, that when you do a show and people acknowledge the work that you do, and that's why I consider these people family. They choose us over so many other things they can do on radio and off. And to know that they stick with us, especially during that difficult time, and appreciated the work that we did, that is so much fun and appreciative. So thank you so much for that.
Well, let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Right. Let's go back to 1934 at Detroit's Navin Field, which became Tiger Stadium. Yankees have lumbago-stricken Lou Gehrig bat leadoff, listing him as the team's shortstop. After singling in the first inning, the Iron Horse leaves the game without fielding, as the Tigers bang out 11 doubles to edge the Yankees 12-11. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
Now, without knowing anyone else, that was really weak.
Why?
That wasn't very good.
The guy's known as playing 2,130 games, so one of them was just one inning.
No, that didn't really do much for me.
Can you believe this guy, Andrew? The work you put into this every day?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the closest his streak came to ending. I don't know. I thought that was notable.
Peter?
All right.
I mean, it was fine.
Wow, you guys are jerks.
Listen, I wasn't going to come out and bury it the way Donald did, but I'm also not going to sit here and lie and say it moved me.
What moves you, Peter? Put a list together for us.
I want it to be the cream filling of a Kirkshen sandwich.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you missed that. We had a lot of good drops while you were gone, Michael. Peter's going to win this year. Lock.
Oh,
maybe,
no.
You know what? Maybe what we've learned over the last 11 days is I'm really not that needed.
That's a great point. But
I'm not even going to entertain that.
Michael, listen. No. What? Michael, you're going to like my brain not functioning again and me saying something completely backwards.
Oh, you
got to
hear this, Michael.
Go ahead, Anthony. Let Michael hear this disturbing drop. Go ahead. The Buckner play is like an etched in my moment kind of mind.
Oh, my goodness.
You're almost afraid to laugh.
No, the drugs are coming back to bite him. Is that Don coughing in? Because that was a big part of the 11 days, too, I kept hearing on Twitter.
Man. The birds! I can't even think!
Regis Philbin?
I'm on television.
You did sound like Regis.
You sound like Regis Philbin.
And that was an impression of you.
The birds! I can't even think!
So he hears Regis Philbin when he hears me. I'm flattered by that. But that doesn't sound like me at all.
It is what it is, Peeper.
Peeper?
Michael, what do you think of that?
I think I'm glad I'm here to restore order. When we come back, Tim Legler
will
break down what was a really entertaining game 4. We got a series now, tied at 2 games apiece in the NBA Finals, despite Jrue Holiday trying his best not to have the Bucks win that game.
Oh, my God. And the refs.
Oh, my goodness. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Legler coming up next on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
The Yankees-Red Sox game tonight has been postponed. We bring in our good friend Buster Olney. Buster, I know this is a very fluid situation right now. Why is this game being postponed when the Yankees are an organization that are 85% vaccinated?
Because they had multiple tests among players, and I don't know the precise number. From what I have been told, some of the positives are among at least one of the positives among player who was vaccinated, and there's at least one who was not vaccinated. I don't know the exact numbers. We were getting ready for a Zoom call with Aaron Boone for ESPN, and then we were told that was canceled. And then a little while later, we heard that the game had been postponed.
The Michael K. Show.
Shutting my big, ugly, disgusting, fat, ignorant mouth.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Needed that laugh.
It was a show where we were having a lot of fun, and now reality has kind of burst onto the scene. So we're not giving you the Yankees starting lineup today, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. We are telling you that the Yankees and the Red Sox game has been postponed. Three players have tested positive for COVID-19. Three are pending, although Brian Cashman, who's addressing the media right now, said he suspects that they will, in fact, test positive as well, but he didn't say who those three were. So that's the situation. Certainly not a good one. That's the situation at Yankee Stadium right now between the Yankees and the Red Sox. That game postponed. Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. So the three we know are all relievers. So they spend a lot of time in that, you know, bullpen together. So that's the situation there. I don't know who the other three are. And Buster said that there were people with the Yankees that did not get the shot. And that's the scary part. So if any of these people that are testing positive now that do not have the protection of the shot, can they get ill? Now, everything that we've heard throughout all this time is that, you know, professional athletes should be fine if they get this. But Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't fine. So there have been professional athletes that have certainly been affected and affected in an adverse way. Did they die? No. But Eduardo Rodriguez was knocked to the core and had, you know, the inflammation around the heart, myocarditis. So you hope that that's not going to be the case with any of these guys. And whether or not these guys are vaccinated or not, it's not for us to guess. It's not for us to know. But they're, you know, according to Buster, there were Yankee players, although the team and the traveling party, and that involves everybody, was over 85%, which is the threshold. There were players that decided not to get vaccinated.
Right. And these postponements happen, Michael, to protect the unvaccinated. Because that, I guess that's what you're doing.
I don't know if that's the reason.
I mean, well, it's protecting everybody.
Because it's protecting everybody because you could still get COVID.
No, but I understand. You could still get COVID, but the whole idea of the vaccination is that, as Brian Cashman said, it's going to keep you out of the hospital. It's going to keep you from dying. So the people that are unvaccinated are more likely to get sicker than people that are vaccinated. So I understand you're protecting everybody, but ultimately, when you're talking about, well, professional athletes don't die from this, they don't get hospitalized, but the stats show that the people that are vaccinated don't die and don't go to the hospital. So that's what you're doing. You're protecting the 15%. And according to Buster, there are teams that are less than 85% vaccinated. So how do we move on as a sport, just specifically to baseball here, without making vaccinations mandatory? But they can't get along with each other, so then it becomes just another hot potato as far as trying to negotiate the new CBA and all that. But that's the dilemma you get. There's a lot of companies that are saying you can't work unless you're vaccinated. Does baseball need to get to that point, or is this the way we live now? Because if the virus isn't going away, then this is the way the life is going to always be then. Right? This is it. This is what we – because it's not – this is going to happen. And the idea is that eventually when we get herd immunity – then we can really tackle it. But if we don't get to the right amount of vaccinations, then that can't happen. So is this the way life is going to be forever?
Well, again, we went down this road during the pandemic, and you know, people don't want to really hear this, so we're not going to play doctor here. But I will tell you this. Everything that I've read is that this disease will continue to exist and develop variants as long as there are people that are not vaccinated. And at some point, there are going to be variants that are developed that will be able to pierce through the protection given by the vaccine. Hopefully, that will not send people to the hospital and that will not kill people. But the longer, you know, you don't have, I guess they were looking for 75% of the country. Or I think Biden said he was looking for 70% of the country at 67%, which is not that far off, but I think the remaining 33% really don't want to get the vaccine. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Don.
We're obviously not a political show. I don't want to get into people's heads. It's a free country. You can do what you want. But I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how we are going to move forward with this virus. If the virus is not going to go away, then is this what we are looking at forever?
Don't know.
You know, it's just a legitimate question. I'm not a doctor either. I read the stats. Now, everybody believes that they're being lied to, the stats. But I saw a stat that said 99.7% of the people that have died from COVID were not vaccinated.
Right.
So that tells me that you should get vaccinated don't die.
Well, here's the hard part. And I'll be honest, guys. I absolutely hate that we have to tiptoe around this.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to offend people who don't really believe in this illness that's killed over 500,000 Americans. But okay, let's do that, because that's the rules of engagement. I won't tell anyone to get a vaccine. Like, sure, I can't tell anyone. I know absolutely what the vaccine's going to do long term, all those things. People who are hesitant, I'm not the person to tell you. I'm not a doctor. The only thing I can say, though, is, guys, is that these things are going to happen for sure without people getting the vaccine. So that's not an indictment of someone who believes the vaccine is dangerous. I don't agree. I got a vaccine. All of my family got a vaccine. That's not for me. But I'll just say, regardless of how you feel about it, we are going to continue to have these problems when people don't get the vaccine. And it's to the point Buster made, I think it was Buster, to the point that we made earlier. It's really kind of freaky because you turn on the NBA Finals, you see a full crowd. I'm going to Texas this weekend just to be a part of full crowds again. Everyone's so ready to do it. And now we start seeing these things pop up a bit. It's certainly scary. It should certainly give us a little bit of pause.
But also, not all those people that were in Milwaukee last night are not all going to get vaccinated today to see. So there are people that get it, don't even know they had it, and they move on with their life. The reason we get attention from this is that the Yankees get tested. And so we know. So I get the everyday population. I'm just talking from a sports perspective. We're a sports show. Is this how baseball is going to be, and then eventually football, basketball, hockey?
Well, if they can't get the final 15 to 20% of people to vaccinate.
This is it. This is right now, this could be just like rain. You know, is the game going to be played today? Well, it's going to depend, because they're going to continue to test, and we're going to continue to have situations like this. And if you're somebody out there that doesn't want to get vaccinated, it's cool with that. Then I guess that's the way it's going to be, because I don't know what changes. It's not like a hurricane that just blows through and then it's over. This is here.
Are you trying to cue Alanis Morissette, Don? It's like rain. That's where you're going.
On your wedding day. Yeah.
That's right.
Isn't it ironic, don't you think?
By the way, what a fraudulent thing rain on your wedding day being good luck is. It's something you say to make up for the fact that it rained on someone's wedding day. You got to say that. They feel terrible. The bride's crying. Oh, babe, don't worry. It's good luck that it rained on your wedding. Well, that's nice.
But I'm with Peter. I feel like I got kicked in the stomach by this. Not because there's no game tonight. Yeah, that stinks. But just when you think that you're feeling better. Because I was with you, Peter. I'm watching the game last night, full building, a lot of energy. You know, you feel like things are kind of back to normal. And then something like this happens, and you realize that we're getting there, but we're not there yet.
I wonder, and again, being not trying to be philosophical, did we ever get back to normal, or did we just decide we'd had enough? I mean, Peter has intimated this a couple of times, too. Did we just have enough, and that was it? I mean, were we really sure? And I understand you can't shut the world down, because the world would cease to exist, but were we ready? So for those that just tuned in, got in the car, whatever, Yankees and the Red Sox tonight postponed because of due to positive COVID-19 tests within the Yankee organization. We know three players have tested positive. According to Brian Cashin and the Yankee GM, another three with rapid tests are undergoing more detailed testing. And he believes that those three will also come back positive. So he said it's up to Major League Baseball now whether or not what happens with tomorrow's game and the game after that. And if I seem a little bit distracted right now, you know, I told the story when I first came on the air at the beginning of the show. I felt awful last day in Newport, coughing and whatever, and I didn't feel like I had a temperature. And now Jody and Callie are both sick, and they both have temperatures. So, you know, as we're doing the show right now, I'm arranging for them to get a COVID test. You know, you just don't say, oh, it's just a cold anymore, because you don't know, because they're way worse than I was. I mean, they're all congested, and they both have temperatures right now in the 100, you know, 100 point whatever. So I'm going to get them tested, and, you know, you worry. Jody's been vaccinated, but Callie hasn't. Yeah. Callie's only 8 years old.
That's why it's such a sports thing, is because they constantly get tested. You know, we as a general public don't, unless your job forces you to, you don't get tested. I haven't been tested since the Rangers season was over. So you're right, you can get it. My family, too, is going through the same thing, because once you get back to normal and start removing the masks and things that – now you're susceptible to all the germs that we were hiding from for the last 16 months. But you don't know, because we're not getting tested as regularly as a professional baseball player is. But I do see, when you said, is things back to normal, Michael? Well, you know, we were living through a time where there were sick people at the Javits Center. So clearly we have overcome certain hurdles, but it's still there. It still exists.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dr. Dan in Staten Island.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, no.
Now, his question, I think, is a legitimate one. Why do they continue to test players? Well, they continue to test players because there are a certain percentage that are unvaccinated and you don't want them to get sick.
And you can get COVID even though you're vaccinated.
Right.
So if you're one of those that are unlucky enough that a variant pierces the protection of the vaccine, you could still spread COVID. And since there are players that didn't want to get vaccinated, you got to keep testing. I guess if a team was 100%, maybe you wouldn't test. It's a good question. Maybe you wouldn't test. But since players don't, you know, they a lot of them, I can't say a lot, but, you know, it seemed like a significant. We know the Chicago Cubs are not vaccinated. The Mets, I don't believe, are vaccinated 85%. If you want to know what teams are vaccinated 85%, the Astros aren't because Dusty's wearing a mask. Anytime you see coaches and managers wear a mask, that means the team's not vaccinated.
Right. And the only reason 85% means anything is because that's when you're allowed to let your guard down as far as wearing masks in the dugout and all that.
Right.
You know, so yeah, there could be teams that are 50% vaccinated. They're still going and playing games. It's just that means their manager has to wear a mask and they have to practice all of the social distancing that everybody else had to do for a while.
All right, let's go to Jesse in Middletown. Jesse.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Question for you. If you told the players that we're going to hold you financially responsible if something happens like this where a team cannot play and you're the source of the spread, I think all players will get on board and get the shot. What do you guys think?
Well, the union won't allow it.
Yeah, that's got to be collectively bargained.
Yeah, I mean, these businesses that say, you know, like colleges are saying, you know, there are a lot of colleges you can't come to campus unless you're vaccinated. Well, they're not unionized. Students aren't unionized, so nobody could fight for them. There's no way the union would allow that to happen. And there's enough people in this country that don't believe that they need to get a vaccine. So in order for you to say, you know, you're liable if this happens, well, again, People don't realize the strength of the union in baseball. You can't just unilaterally wave your hand and say, okay, that's it. Can't do it.
But this is what bothers me about this particular situation with baseball. We're trying to protect the 15% that don't want to be vaccinated because it's well within their right. Or is it just, we don't want to do anything baseball asks us to do? Like, couldn't the union get together and say, hey, listen, do you really want to see these games postponed? Let's all get together. Let's all agree that we should be vaccinated so we don't run into situations like we ran into today. Or is it just another, you know, political football that is used, for lack of a better phrase, so that they can get something in return in the collective bargaining? All right, we'll get everybody vaccinated, but you got to give us something back. Like, can't we just say, hey, we're in a public health crisis here. We want to be able to finish our season. Let's all get together and let's do what we think is right for the sport. But no, they're going to use that as a way, a bargaining chip, to get something from the owners.
No, I don't think they'll do that. Not. I just think there are a lot of players that don't believe that they should get the vaccine. And there's nothing that would be bargained that they would give up that right not to get the vaccine. There are a lot of people in this country, so I'm not going to disparage the players for it. I don't think they would use it as a cudgel to get something else.
Well, let's say the owners called up the Players Association and said, we would like the players to all be vaccinated.
They have said that.
And do they say no because we want to fight for the rights of the people that don't want to get vaccinated? Or is it, all right, we'll do that, but you got to give us something else in return?
No, because I don't think they could give them anything in return that would force the people that are not vaccinated to get a vaccine. So they're not negotiating because these people don't want it. I mean, the union has urged the players, please, get a vaccine. And many of them don't want to. They just don't want to. Let's go to Noel in Dunkirk, New York. Noel. Noel.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing good, and you?
Good, thank you. What's up?
Hey, just want to talk about this whole COVID thing that's going on. I think it should be mandatory for these ball players to be vaccinated. You're traveling around from city to city.
Do you think it should be mandatory for every American to be vaccinated?
Pardon?
Do you think it should be mandatory for every American to be vaccinated?
Yes, I do, but yeah, that's a whole different thing.
I know, but no.
People are traveling from city to city.
No.
You know?
It's just... You would have an uprising in this country. Whether I'm not saying whether you're right or wrong. We thank you for the phone call. If you mandated that everyone must be vaccinated, I mean, the president of the United States said they're going to have people go door to door, and people are calling it a personal affront that they're being forced to do something they don't want to do.
Here's someone.
So there's no way that you could say that the union is going to allow every player to be mandatory to be vaccinated. They won't do it.
Breaking news out of L.A. L.A. County announced a few minutes ago that it will reimpose an indoor mask mandate regardless of vaccination status beginning Saturday night at 11:59 p.m.
So not now. They'll wait till Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know with how that works. If it's just giving people time, I don't know how that works. But, yes, still interesting.
Marley Rivera reporting. Cashman said they have three COVID-19 positives, three more pending among players. Sources tell ESPN that at least two position players have tested positive. Yankees have already placed pitchers Loaisiga, Peralta, and Cortez on the COVID IL. So two position players have tested positive. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. James Wagner reporting, Cashman said not all but most of the players who could end up positive are vaccinated. He said it was a combination of J&J and two-shot vaccines among them, and he said the players were confirmed positive tests are doing well. So that's the most important thing about the vaccination, that it will stop you from getting gravely ill. All right, so here's what we're going to do, everybody, because people want to hear the entire Cashman interview. So we're going to go to break on the radio side, and Yes is going to go to Cashman right here and then rejoin us on the other side of the break. All right, so if you're watching on Yes, we've pretty much told you everything Brian's saying verbally, but if you want to see him saying it during his Zoom press conference, that's coming up right now on Yes, and we'll take a brief time out right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, Jets Nation, the annual green and white practice is back at MetLife Stadium on Saturday, August 7th. Join the team under the lights for a night full of football, family, and fun. Download your free mobile tickets today at nyjets.com/camp or be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll win four front row tickets. Again, the number is 888-987-3776. The green and white scrimmage is supported by Atlantic Health System, Dell Technologies, JetBlue, MetLife, and SAP. All right, our very own Brian Windhorst is reporting. Team USA is in a struggle with COVID as one player is out of the Olympics, Bradley Beal. Another is in protocols, Jeremy Grant. And now there are discussions underway about canceling tomorrow's game with Australia, sources tell him.
Okay.
This is also quite a chance they're taking with these Olympics. I mean, there are no fans allowed either.
Yeah, the Olympics thing is very interesting.
Well, they're in a state of emergency in Japan, in Japan right now, and yet they're still moving forward with the Olympics. So,
now I'm sorry. If you don't say this is a money grab, which I've always said the Olympics are, what would be the reason? If the country is in a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just joined us, the Yankees and the Red Sox game postponed tonight at the stadium. It was supposed to be a nationally televised game, the only game in town, the only two teams playing. That has now been postponed. We don't know what the rest of the series holds. Three Yankee players have tested positive, three more pending, although Cashman believes that they will test positive because the rapid test, I guess, showed that. And he said, as of right now, everybody is okay. Everybody is okay. Brian also said the decision to postpone tonight's game was made by the commissioner's office, and it's too soon to know what this means for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, because remember, everybody, for the most part, that was not at the All-Star game in Colorado, they all go home.
Yep.
You know, so that's what's different. Like, usually there's some structure to the regular season. You're together. You maybe go home on an off day, but people were, you know, traveling around, you know, North America during those 3-4 days off and running into different people, running in different circles. There's a lot of places in this country where, you know, COVID is maybe not as scary as it was for us in New York, but the hospitals are starting to fill up again and going through something similar that we went through last year. You know, so maybe there might be other situations. Tomorrow will be very interesting to see if there'll be other games that are postponed.
Let's go to Dan in Massapequa. Dan.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Peter. Don. First, Michael, hope your daughter and your wife turn out all right. You know, hope they're well.
I have two questions for you.
When the union votes on to ratify the collective bargaining, what is the percentage that the members have to say yes for it to be ratified? And if it's at 80%, let's just say, why not the union just go to the players and say, hey, listen, we want to mandate this, and we're going to take, if 80% of the players say yes, then we're going to ratify having to mandate the vaccine.
Well, I'm not sure the percentage. I always thought it was just a majority, and you know that a majority have gotten the shot, Dan. I just don't think that with medical issues that you could dictate that somebody takes this. Again, as strange as that might sound to all of us that have got the vaccine, there are people that are just staunchly opposed to getting the vaccine.
I agree with you, and I know there are medical issues. My child has one of them that won't allow him to take the vaccine. But if you're talking about a group of players that generate the income that they generate from the fans, and all we're saying is, hey, we want you to mandate this so we don't lose out on going to a game. We don't lose out on taking the fans, because the players are still going to get paid. The only people that lose out are the people that are watching the game or the fans that are going to the stadium. So just say, as a union, say, hey, we're going to mandate this if the majority says okay.
Dan, I hear what you're saying, and you're being rational, but it's not going to happen. They are not going to mandate, and we thank you for the phone call, they're not going to mandate that they have to get the vaccine. The players will not do it. There are players that simply will not do it. They have come. I've heard some unbelievable reasons why some of them won't do it. I'm not going to share them with you, but it makes you roll your eyes. I'm sure there are legitimate concerns too, but you cannot mandate. I mean, this is a union that has to defend their most despicable brethren because they are part of the union. And if there's 20% of players that don't want to get a shot, I don't care if 80 of them want to, 80% want to, they are not going to mandate that those 20% have to take this vaccine. They won't.
But should they?
But the players are saying no.
But if 85% of the players say that they should be vaccinated, can't they shout down the ones that don't?
Did they do that in steroids, Don?
You're not allowed to play.
Did they do that in steroids? No.
No, they didn't. But, you know, because there were probably a lot of people that were on steroids more than we knew. But what I'm asking is that if there are 90% that are vaccinated, want to play, want to have this, and then there's 10% that are just against it, okay, nobody's putting a gun to your head that you got to get vaccinated, but you're not allowed to play. And if they voted, shouldn't that amount of people win out? You're a union.
Yeah, I know.
90% of it, you're never going to get everybody to agree on something. And so you go by a certain percentage. If it's 50-50, I get it, Michael, but if it's overwhelming, they can't ratify it.
It's a real hinky territory that you get into. I don't know if you could demand somebody to take a vaccine.
No, you can't.
I mean, we see how parts, I'm not saying the majority of the country, but a great deal of the country is diametrically opposed to it.
Right.
Feel that it has not been, you know, properly researched, feels that they don't know what the ramifications will be, but they also don't know what the ramifications of getting COVID would be either. But that's the way we stand right now. I'm sure that there are some big name players that you'd be shocked that absolutely have refused to take this vaccine.
But I would think that just like any other company, any other vote, majority rules.
No, but not when it comes to health, Don. I don't think it can.
Well, but again, nobody is forcing them to take the vaccine. It's like you play in Major League Baseball. You're a part of a union. Your union says in order for you to be able to go to work, you have to get vaccinated or you don't play. I completely agree with you. I understand the freedom of this country. The freedom is that you could do what you want.
to a certain extent, right? So nobody's going to force you to take the vaccine, but we have lived in a world now where not being vaccinated, like there's certain inoculations you have to go travel to Africa, right? If you don't want to take it, you don't go. Like, can you still get on the plane and fly to a country and not have that? No, you can't. You're not allowed. So there's certain lines that are drawn where in order for you to do this, you have to go through a certain procedure. And if your union votes that in order to play baseball, you have to be vaccinated, and 90% of the players vote for it, yeah, the freedom of the country is nobody's forcing you to get vaccinated, but if you want to play under our rules, if you want to play in our sport, in our business, that's the rule.
I get what you're saying, Don, but let's say that the 15% of the players that don't want to be vaccinated, you know, the average annual salary for these guys is $20 million. You think the union is going to say, okay, guys, you don't play and that's it? You're not going to get paid? They're going to allow the owners not to pay 20 million times 15% of the players? There's no way. You're not being pragmatic. They're not going to allow it. You don't think the union wants all the players to be vaccinated? I am truly convinced that we as a nation now are so polarized about certain things that if the polio vaccine was engineered today, people would still have polio. They wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it. They're just dead set against it. I'm sorry, they wouldn't take it. So, I mean, if you told this entire country, if everybody got the COVID-19 vaccine, that it would eradicate this disease, they still wouldn't do it.
It depends who said that they should.
No, I don't think anybody who said that they should. Because both sides, President Trump took the shot, and some of his followers don't do it. Biden took the shot. Some of his followers won't do it. I think it's an individual thing. You might say or say it leans one way or the other. You might be right. You might be wrong. I don't think it's just one way, Peter. I just don't think it's one
way.
That's
fair. That's fair. Oh, no, and I didn't even mean one way, though. I mean, but depending who says it would affect a certain group. Like, yes, you're right. There are, like, for example, people who support one person who, even though they got the shot, won't get it. But there, right. But be clear, there's still their share of people who, because of certain things that were said, were like, oh, that's the real answer. I'm not going to do it. But let's be honest. Vax hesitancy affects many different groups of people.
Yeah, of course it does.
It's a wide range.
Listen, we're no different than anybody else. We're not any more special than anybody else. We all make our own decisions. All right? And again, I'm not forcing you what to do. I'm just asking the questions from a union standpoint. Because, Michael, there's certain places I work for. I can't work unless I'm vaccinated.
Right.
So it's not unheard of. Right? That there are businesses, there's certain places I can't go. There were certain places I couldn't sit at a ballpark unless I was vaccinated. So lines of demarcation are being drawn everywhere, vaccinated, not vaccinated. That's just the way of life. But
how about the way it's changed, though, Don? The last couple of playoff games for the New York Knicks, you could not get in without vaccination proof.
Right.
Now you could get in anywhere. Nothing has to be proven. Nothing. There has not to be vaccination proof. There doesn't have to be a COVID-19 negative test. Nothing. People are just piling into places. That's the way it is.
Right. But in defense to the Knicks and a lot of other places, that was also pre the Delta variant. And things are changing. It's ever, ever changing. But I was faced with the same choice everybody else was faced with. And I said to myself, listen, I understand this vaccine is different than any other. We don't have 20 years of knowledge on it. So there is an unknown when you take it.
Sure.
We all went through that. But I think there's also an unknown about this virus, and I just weighed the pros and cons, and my individual feeling was I think the pros outweighs the cons, and I took the vaccine. Now, who knows? Maybe 10 years from now I'll regret it. But every bit of information that I seem to be getting about getting this virus, I don't want it. And if the virus and if the vaccine's going to help me not get it or help me keep me out of the hospital or keep me from – being 6 feet under, I was willing to take that chance. I guess some people are not.
Let's go to Steve in Boundbrook. Steve.
Michael, hey, it's a pleasure. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Listen, Michael, you sort of stole my thunder. What I want to say to Don is, Don, if I'm working for a media company here in New Jersey selling advertising, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Aaron Judge of the company bringing in tons of revenue, and I don't want to take the vaccine, the company is going to turn a blind eye. They're not going to tell me to take a vaccine, whether they can or can't. That's what Michael was saying. That's the difference.
Right. But we don't know that, you know, Steve. We don't know what percentage, who are the guys that aren't taking it. What if there are a bunch of multi-million-dollar players who are saying, I want these guys to be vaccinated? I'm just saying at some point something can win out.
I can't tell you.
do that, Don. Don, you can't tell me to take a vaccine. Look, Don, I'm 2 months younger than you. I was born in April of 68, okay? I don't take Advil when I get a headache. I'm in good physical condition. I'm not obese, great shape. I've never taken medications when I don't have to. Whether I got the vaccine or not, I didn't necessarily did not want that vaccine because I never put anything in my body. The one thing that I was worried about, if I didn't get the vaccine and if I got the virus, would I be spreading it to other people? That kind of was wary on my mind. Mm-hmm. But I did not want that vaccine, and I resisted it. I got it about a month ago simply because thinking about travel, going to games, you know, I was thinking that maybe – if you wanted to get on an airplane, fly internationally, you may have to, you know, show a vaccination card. So I got the vaccination. But Michael's right. If a quarter of the players are not vaccinated, you can't infringe on their rights.
But there are companies, Steve, that tell you you can't come into work unless you're vaccinated.
If I'm generating the money that Aaron Judge's, or right. If some other superstar player is, and they don't want to get vaccinated, baseball's going to turn a blind eye, just like my company right. would if I was the number one.
Well,
ad
but doesn't it work? Let me ask you something quick. But really, what if doesn't it work the other way? Like, what if some of the biggest names in the sport put pressure and say, "I want there to be mandatory vaccinations because I don't want to have these postponements. I don't want to have to be leery of somebody." That isn't vaccinated. That could work too. So would they cave under that pressure?
I don't think what Steve is saying. And we thank you for the phone call, Steve. Is like there are companies that won't allow you to come into work, okay, if right. you're not vaccinated. But if there was somebody that was really really important to the company that was a real revenue driver, and he said I'm not getting his vaccine, I don't think they would fire him.
No.
And I don't think that they would pass that unilaterally. And as a union, you have to represent everybody from the best people to the worst people, everybody. And if a grand percent, not a grand, if 10% of your constituency don't want to get shots, then you got to defend them. You're right. not going to force them to do it.
But please don't tell me that's how this union operates.
What does that mean?
That they treat everybody equally and defend everybody the same. That's not the case.
I am sure that of a lot of the people, right, that are choosing not to get vaccinated, many of them are megastars.
All right. And I get that. And you're right. At the end of the day, that's going to move the needle. But what I was asking, can't the reverse happen? What if it ended up being 10%? They're all role players and the 90% were most of them superstars. Wouldn't they also carry the same weight?
Maybe, but I don't think that's the case. So
right,
that's why we are in this situation. And also, for those that don't want to get vaccinated, right? I mean, they could really return serve and go, okay, everybody that's been vaccinated is getting sick. So why should I, if I get sick, why should I, on top of that, also get a vaccine? Now, everybody's listening. I'm not defending that. I did get the vaccine. First opportunity, I was trying to get it even before the first opportunity. So that's how I felt. But the bottom line is, they're probably saying, even if you got the vaccine, you got sick. But what I would tell them, those people are probably not being hospitalized now because they have the vaccine. And then they might say, not athletes. The vast majority of athletes that get COVID, even if they're not vaccinated, are not getting deathly ill. That's what they'll say. And they say, although the Dr. Oswald that we had on, he said these vaccines have been in development for 15 years. All they had to do was plug in the coordinates for this specific COVID. But it's not like it was thrown together in 9 months. It just wasn't.
But if that kind of power, then why not just say, then let's play through? Though they still postpone the game, so they still acknowledge, the situation. And I think a lot of that is because of the fact that if somebody does end up in the hospital and does, God forbid, die, it's overwhelmingly statistically proven that that person likely was not vaccinated. So that's why you're postponing. Because you don't want to have that happen. But if it's just, hey, we're not going to get sick, we're all going to be okay, we'll get it, but we're professional athletes, then why aren't they playing today?
Because it's not their decision. I'm sure if it was their decision and they're not actually ill, they would play. Major League Baseball saying we're not playing.
Oh, God, this is such an annoying – I can't believe we're here talking about this again. And maybe it turns out to just be a little scare that we go through for a few days and people buckle down and we get – it's nothing. But you certainly look around. My day started with hearing that Wiz Khalifa had COVID.
Then we got on the air and you said Rich Eisen said he had COVID and had symptoms and was vaccinated fully. Then we find out Bradley Beal is out of the U.S. Olympics, contact tracing, and now Yankees Red Sox postponed. It's been a weird day.
All right, let's take a brief time out. This is certainly not the way we envision having fun and doing the show that we normally do, but it is the story of the day, and I'm sure it's going to be covered even in the news, not just the sports part of the newspaper as well. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.